I know we're all guilty of lying in bed, scrolling through this new website we just discovered with the cutest clothes, adding it all to cart, and then remembering your wallet is in the living room and you don't want to get out of bed to go find your credit card number. So then you head to the checkout in hopes that you see that purple shop button. And there it is, the iconic purple Shop Pay button that has all of your payment and shipping information saved, saving you time while you get to stay cozy in bed. Well, that's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it, because Shopify makes everything easier, from checkout to creating your own storefront. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Skims and Rhode to brands just getting started. It gives you that leg up from day one with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style. You could tackle all of the important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more, including spreading the word on your brand with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And as for that iconic purple Shop Pay button, it's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/forthegirls. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls. Shopify.com/forthegirls. Holiday shopping season is officially here, my favorite time of the year, and Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. Don't make the mistake of waiting. We all know the most meaningful gifts get scooped up fast, and now is the perfect time to cross names off your list. You'll find so many handmade products or products made in the US, with many crafted by independent artists and small businesses, making every gift truly one of a kind. I found the perfect customizable gift for the foodies in my life and immediately added to cart. It's a personalized family recipe serving board that you could either hand write and scan a recipe onto or type it on, and it is so special. And of course, I had to get myself a little something because I found this Christmas movie play-along card game, and I cannot wait to play this on our Christmas movie marathon nights, which you already know we will be having plenty of. Uncommon Goods really does have something for everyone, from parents to kids and teens, from book lovers to football fans. All your family and friends are covered. There's no better feeling when getting your holiday shopping done than knowing when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so be sure to shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They have donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/forthegirls. That's uncommongoods.com/forthegirls for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalario.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalario.com.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Persibelli. And today is my first day back from the honeymoon. So I will be doing a little honeymoon recap. I will do my best because one, I'm like a combination of like, I think I'm overtired because I'm like so insanely exhausted from all the travel and also from like the time difference because We were in California and in Bora Bora. So in California, we were 3 hours behind, and in Bora Bora, we were 6 hours behind. So our sleep schedule has been all over the place. And that is also why simultaneously I'm like, oh, like extremely awake, especially at night. Like I'm not sleeping at night right now because I was sleeping 6 hours behind. So now it's like, I don't get tired till like 4 o'clock in the morning. I can't even explain it. Anyway, I want to share the details of the honeymoon because I've had a lot of girls in my DMs asking. I've been posting a lot, but I've actually really not been on my phone that much. It takes me 2 seconds to post, but I'm really not trying to like be all up in my DMs and having conversations with people while I'm away. I really wasn't even texting with friends. Like I was on super do not disturb mode, with the exception of the things that I was posting, but the things that I was posting was leading to questions. And so I know a lot of you girls are in the midst of planning your honeymoons. You're looking for recommendations. You're looking for ideas. So I want to share it all. But between the travel and the wedding and just like so much that has been going on, I've been a little off schedule. I did put out 2 interviews, you know, over the last few weeks. So I did have some like normalcy on the podcast, but it's not really until after this episode where I'm going to be like back into like real true For the Girls action and getting like all the content out there that you girls are really here for and the advice and whatnot. And speaking of advice, I do want to remind everybody about the Dear Victoria segment, which I haven't really been doing because it just hasn't really fit into the episode. But I actually received through email a Dear Victoria segment, an update, a 1 year update that I wanted to share right now. And also to let this be your reminder that I do take submissions from you girls, anyone who needs advice or anything you want to talk through a situation, whatever the case may be. And I will begin to feature them again regularly on my upcoming episodes of the podcast. So you can email me. The email is victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com. Make the subject line Dear Victoria. This way I know that it's a Dear Victoria submission. And you can send away your situation and let me know, you know, what it is that you need advice on. And it will potentially be featured in a relevant and upcoming episode and conversation on For the Girls. So I do just want to share this little 1 year update with you all, and then I'll jump right into the honeymoon recap. So a year ago in 2024, I got a submission from a girl who was essentially saying she works really hard on herself. She's a doctor. Well, she had just graduated to become a doctor. She does all of these things. I have hobbies. I do manifesting and reading books, and I go to the psychologist. Like, she does all the things to work on herself, and she's, you know, successful and great. But when it comes to dating, she felt like, you know, flopping. Like, she keeps putting herself out there, but it's just not fruitful. She said, through friends and parties, I meet new men, but they either don't match my requirements or they don't reach out to me, and I'm not going to chase them, so I don't contact them either. I try everything, but I feel stuck. Could you give me some insight? So I had used that submission on November 4th, 2024. The episode is titled Stop Denying Your Desires and Start Feeling Your Best. So you could hear my full response to that there, which is where I basically just give this girl some advice on like not feeling so stuck when it comes to love and dating and whatnot. Now, ironically, I don't think it's necessarily ironic. I think it's actually intentional. I received an email from her on exactly November 4th, an exact year since I put out that episode. So November 4th, 2025, she sent me an email and said, Dear Victoria, it's been a year since you shared my story on your podcast, and I wanted to give you a quick update, which I love this. I love when you girls who send submissions give me your updates, because like, I don't know what happens. I give you advice and I have no idea how the situation ends up. So I love, love, love this. My first months as a doctor were for the least hard. The shock of the responsibilities I had hit me like a truck. A longtime friend of mine would send me cute encouragement reels every few weeks, trying to cheer me up. In January of 2025, I asked him to run with me once a week. He is a triathlete, and it was relaxing time for me. It really helped me get through it, and I never thought of him as more than a friend. He wasn't my type. However, from listening to your podcast, my type had changed over time. it wasn't the cool, mysterious, stereotypically good-looking guy anymore, but more like the sure about me kind of guy. And damn, he is. We have been together for 7 months now, and it has been the easiest time of my life. I'm more serene than ever. My brain is calm, and I'm not ruminating over every little thing anymore. He brings me peace, comfort, confidence. I don't know if he will be my life partner, but it is sure on the right path. I wanted to share this with you to thank you for getting me unstuck. By telling you my story, I am trying to give hope to all the girls that are patiently patiently waiting for the one. He is there. Just wait and see. I love this. First of all, I have the chills. I'm like smiling ear to ear. Like just hearing this makes me so happy. Like, thank you for getting me unstuck. That is like, that's the best feeling. Is like when you just feel like you're constantly hitting a wall and like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no way out. It's a terrible way to feel. I didn't listen back to that episode, so I really can't tell you exactly what advice I had given her at the time. Although after I record this, I think I want to go and listen to it, from that Dear Victoria episode. But like, I'm sure that whatever I had told her had given her some sort of advice along the lines of like patience. You know, patience is the trust that it will happen. This is something I say all the time. People who lack patience when it comes to anything, success, love, whatever, you know, the situation may be, are essentially people who don't trust that it will work out, people who don't trust that it will happen. And patience is being able to sit back and say, I know it will happen for me. I know that my time is going to come. My time just hasn't happened yet. I trust that it will happen. And because of that trust, I can be patient that it will happen in due time and when it's meant to and supposed to and whatnot. And so I think it's very important that we don't beat ourselves up over the situation, you know, when it comes to love and dating and romance. Like, it is hard. It is certainly not easy. It's not, you can't just make someone be your person. And I hope that this guy is, because he sounds phenomenal and it sounds like such a lovely relationship. So I hope that he is the one. I know she said she's not entirely sure, but that's also, even that is a good thing for her to have that patience and like being able to just like sit back and say like, I am not going to force anything. I am not going to like, you know, make myself get married just for the sake of getting married. Like, I'm going to make sure that this is my life partner. This is my person. This is my husband. This is who I'm going to be with for the rest of my life. And like, even that in itself is growth, because sometimes what we do as women, when we find a guy that we like, or even better yet, when we find a guy who really likes us, even if we're not 100% sure if we like them, if we find a guy that likes us, sometimes we're like really trying to make fetch happen. And it's like, I need to lock this guy down. I'm not that crazy about him. I'm not that attracted to him, but I just want to get married. I want kids. I want babies. He's husband material. Like, we get a little selfish and we want to lock down the guy, whether we are 100% certain or not, just to get into the relationship and just to have that person in our corner and for us to feel more secure in life, for us to feel like, okay, my biological clock is doing well now because now I found somebody, now I'm doing good. Like, so even being able to say he's great, he checks all these boxes, I'm just not putting the pressure on it to make sure that this is my husband today. Like, I don't know 100% that he's the one, but like, I'm happy either way, like whatever the case is. That is growth. That is maturity. And that is the mindset that I think will get women closer to securing the one, is not like having that scarcity mindset of like, it has to be him. If it's not him, then it's no one. What have I said for years, which was taught to me? It's this or something better. So if it's not this, it's something better. Not enough people have that mindset. Most people have a scarcity mindset and think, if it's not this, then what is it? If it's not this, then where is he? If it's not him, then who? And we get nervous and we get afraid that then we're never going to find somebody and now we're failing and now we need to start all over again. And that is a terrible way to live. And it does lead to breakups in the future or divorce in the future, or maybe you do stay together, but just an unfulfillment in your relationship and unsatisfaction in your life and just an overall unhappiness. And what's worse than that? Like, I'd much rather be single than be unhappy in my relationship. I'd much rather be single and be alone and start over and figure it out than force a dynamic, force a relationship, stay in it just to have somebody and not feel like this is my person. Because the only thing worse than feeling lonely single is feeling lonely while in a relationship, feeling alone when you have a partner. That's a terrible, terrible way to feel and to live. So if it's not this, it's something better. That's always the mindset. Although I do hope it is this, and you're allowed to hope that it's this. You're allowed to wear your heart on your sleeve and be vulnerable and hope that he is the one because he checks every box and things are great. And like, I hope that that's that for you. But it's great to know that like, you're not going to beat yourself up over it if it's not. But it sounds like it's been going good for the last 7 months. So that makes me very, very, very happy. And I don't know everyone's dynamic. Not everyone desires marriage. Although I will say I've only been married for a month now. But I will say, which is that not crazy that it's even been a month? Like, it's only been a month, but at the same time, it's already been a month. Like, this whole year, it's like 7 months to the wedding, 6 months to the wedding, 2 months to the wedding, 1 month to the wedding. And now it's like I blinked and I'm back and I'm like, okay, now it's 1 month since the wedding. What? But anyway, I will say the past month has been amazing. I get why they call it the honeymoon phase. I mean, I quite literally just came home from my honeymoon. So sure, I'm in the phase. But like, it's just so much fun. And everyone says like nothing changes after you get married. I don't agree. Like I don't. Like I feel like our feelings have grown even more. I feel like we've gotten closer. I feel like we just experienced a once in a lifetime trip together. So like we're just like on that high as well of like wow, like marriage has been magical as of, you know, a month, you know, because we just have done magical things and like it's just been amazing. So although not everyone's goal is marriage, I'm not going to sit here and say it should be, but I am going to say to keep your heart open, keep an open mind because it's pretty cool. It's really fun. Just saying. But yeah, speaking of the honeymoon, let's get into the details of that. Let's get into everything. So here's the deal. Obviously, we got married in October and we knew that we were going to go on a honeymoon after that. So it would realistically be fall time. So it was like really important, like to make sure that we did our due diligence and our research on where we were going to go because we wanted the weather to be nice. If we had gotten married in the summer or even like the late spring, where I thought would be a really good idea for us to go on a honeymoon would be the south of France, to have a really luxurious south of France type trip and then end the trip in Paris and do like a little city vibe and go to Disneyland Paris and like just have like, you know, Disney was honestly always part of the picture here. Like we always like, not necessarily intentionally, but like when we were always figuring out where we had options of going and doing, it was like, maybe we would do south of France. And now that we're in France, let's go to Paris and go to Disneyland. Then it's like, okay, well, Europe is out of the question because it's going to be cold and we're not going to go on a sexy south of France beach trip poolside thing when it's cold out in November. You know, like we knew that that wasn't going to happen. So that was out of the picture. Then we had considered doing something like that we really may never ever in our lives do, and that's like to do go to Asia, thinking maybe we could do like a Japan trip. And then it's like, oh, what do you know, if we go to Japan, let's say that we went to like, let's do a little back and forth where we go to Tokyo, to kind of similar how I said south of France, it was like we could do like a beachy vibe. Like there's obviously like, I don't know all the areas because we didn't do full research, but we were like, we could in Japan go to like somewhere islandy, beachy, and then we could also go to Tokyo because I always wanted to go to Tokyo. Tokyo is one of my like bucket list destinations. My whole life, I've always wanted to go there. And when we go to Tokyo for like city vibes there, hello, there's Disney in Tokyo too. I don't know if it's called Disneyland Tokyo or Disney Sea Tokyo, something like that. So there's a Disney in Tokyo. So we were like, oh, hello, again and again. Then the next thing, I just wasn't sold on that. I like really wanted to have like a sexy tropical honeymoon. Like I wanted it, like I just wanted it to feel really romantic and like really luxurious and whatnot. Not saying that neither of those places would be, of course they could be, but like it just wasn't what I like envisioned. So then I was like, there, a place I always wanted to go was Bora Bora. And so then we started to look more into like tropical stuff, Bora Bora, a couple different things, whatever. Most of which you had to stop in California on the way there. Hello, Disneyland in California. You're picking up what I'm putting down. So like it kind of worked out that no matter what we were talking about, Disney was going to be part of the picture. So then we really started to look into Bora Bora. And we were nervous because we know that November starts their rain season. I don't know how we got so lucky that it did not rain. He did his big one on us because we got perfect weather the whole entire trip. But yeah, like, you know, it literally says like November to March, say, like is like it's going to rain like every day in Bora Bora. So we were nervous. However, we had spoken to a few people. We made sure to ask around who had gone to Bora Bora at that time. And everyone said, as long as you go in the beginning of November, you'll be okay. Just don't go end of November. We looked it up, like we were Googling it. Some Reddit threads came up about like people saying the same exact thing. I'm going in November. I'm going in this. Everyone says, go as long as it's early November, you'll be okay. We were nervous, but we were taking the risk. Anyway, so we had done our research and put together essentially where we wanted to go, what we wanted to do. And we also had looked into somebody who just did like a very, very similar trip because we knew that there's a lot of bouncing around, which I'm going to explain. You can't fly directly into Bora Bora. You can't even fly, like we can't fly direct at all because from New York, you can't get over there. You got to stop in California. So no matter what, it wouldn't be direct. But even if you're flying from California, you cannot fly directly into Bora Bora because it's not an international airport. It's only domestic. So you got to fly into Tahiti. So like we knew that we had to do this kind of stuff. So we asked some questions around and, you know, got some suggestions from people who did a very, very similar trip based on what they did do, what they did not do and whatnot. So then once we had our idea together, because for example, when you're flying there, so now when you fly into California, then you fly that over there, you actually fly into Tahiti. When you fly into Tahiti is where you're going to, you know, make your next move. Now, someone that we had talked to had stayed in Tahiti for 3 days. So we thought like that was like what people would essentially recommend or do. And she was like, honestly, I don't really recommend staying in Tahiti. Like you're going to only take away time from the more important parts. And like, I would just bounce right out. So here's what we did. Once we got our list together, we did send everything over to a travel agent. A lot of people asked about the booking and stuff. And I recommend a travel agent, even if you're doing your own research and getting your own stuff together, because essentially they just book everything for you. You can have a travel agent help you from scratch. You can say, I don't even know where I want to go. Or I do know where I want to go, but I don't know any hotels. I don't know anything. Like you can just have them put it all together for you from A to Z. We aren't like that. We wanted to like pick our own stuff and whatever. And so we did that, sent it to her. And then she made an itinerary for us. She booked everything. She got the flight times. Like we didn't have to look up any flights, any times, any like organizing, any logistics. Like the logistics is like the worst part on a trip like this because there is so much moving around. So when you are flying from this to that, to this to that, like you got to have like a car arranged to pick you up and like the transfer from here to there. And like, there is so much. So we did not have to do any of that because the travel agent did all of it. And that is the best thing because booking a trip like that, you have to be so type A with like your Excel spreadsheets and like on this day we get here and then from here we book a car there. Like I hate that stuff. So that was never going to be my role. So what we did was we flew into California. And we got there in the evening, so we only stayed there for that night into the next day. So when we got to California that evening, we basically just went to dinner. We went to dinner at Elefante, and then the next morning we had time because our flight to Tahiti was at night.
So we, during the day, the next day, we went to Rodeo Drive. We had Pura Vida. Pura Vida is one of my favorite places to eat in Miami. So I was excited that they had it in Beverly Hills. And we went to In-N-Out. That was my very first In-N-Out experience. So I was really excited about that. In-N-Out is so good. I mean, it's just fast food. It's like not anything crazy, but like it was good. Okay. You know, we did some shopping. We went around. And then that night is when we had our flight to Tahiti, which is great because like you're flying at night, you get to sleep, you know, it's cool. Now keep in mind, we came from New York, went to California, which is 3 hours behind. Then we flew into Tahiti, which is now 3 hours behind that. So, and we got there late at night. So quite frankly, we were so tired that like by the time that we got to Tahiti, we were very happy that we arranged it the way we did, because what we did was we just planned the hotel in Tahiti for just that night, and we were leaving first thing in the morning. So we were so exhausted that we were like, thank God we don't have to like catch another flight right now. We don't have to catch another method of transportation. We could simply just check into a hotel, which was super close to the airport, knock out and leave in the morning. So that's essentially what we did. We usually just, we just used Tahiti as just like a stopping point to just sleep and get a move on. So now when you're there, that's another 3 hours behind California. It's 6 hours behind us. So we were just bouncing back 3 hours, 3 hours. Like this, the time change thing, it was actually not hard to get adjusted to on that end, because we were so tired that we were able to just like pass out, and it like kind of set us up like to be, you know, awake at the right time and whatnot. But it was rough waking up super early in the morning. In the beginning of the trip, we were waking up 5 o'clock because, you know, it felt like 8 o'clock, even if we went to sleep late. The first few days of the trip, we were up at like 5 o'clock in the morning. So that was a little rough, but we got used to it pretty quickly because we were falling asleep, like good timing. So I'm jumping through the California Tahiti thing because it was just so quick. Like when we woke up in the morning from Tahiti, what we did from there was we took a ferry to Moorea. Moorea being an island, like, you know, you're just like getting yourself closer to Bora Bora, essentially. So we took a ferry, a 30-minute ferry from Tahiti to Moorea, and we stayed at Moorea for three nights. Moorea, we did the Hilton Moorea, which is apparently like the nicest hotel in Moorea. These are not my words. We didn't even know that before we went there. Quite frankly, listen, the Hilton is, there's nothing wrong with the Hilton. It's not our hotel of choice. You know, when we're going on like a vacation, we're not looking to stay at the Hilton, but it's a familiar name, you know, and you're going to a foreign country and you're going to somewhere that you don't really know anything about. And when we were looking into Moorea, you know, all these hotels, like nothing really stood out to us. And so we were like, all right, we'll just do the Hilton. Like that's perfectly fine. And then when we got there and said that we were staying there, they're like, oh, that's the nicest hotel on the island. We were like, really? The Hilton? Like, okay, cool. So, I do recommend it, especially like the Hilton is not something insanely expensive. You know, it's fairly priced. Moorea was definitely fairly priced. Moorea was not like a very expensive place at all. So that was really nice because it was stunning. It was beautiful there. The hotel, the Hilton, was really nice. The food was delicious. And that was fine. What we did decide, like, you know, after going through the whole trip and everything, what we felt was that we wouldn't, if we ever went back, we wouldn't do Moorea again. A lot of people, when they go to Bora Bora, bounce through the islands. Most people do stay in Tahiti for a few days. Then they go to Moorea. Then they go to this one. Then they go to that one. And when we were in Moorea at the Hilton, everyone that was there, we were like, oh, what are your plans? Like, oh, we're going to Bora Bora. Like, everyone was pretty much just stopping in these islands each way along the way to get to Bora Bora. Like, Bora Bora was everyone's true destination. And these hotels were just pit stops along the way. So that was pretty interesting. Like, you know, you don't know that everyone around you is doing the same thing, but everyone that we spoke to in Moorea was like, yeah, we're headed to Bora Bora tomorrow or the next day, like whatever the case is. Like they were just in there for a night or two or three maximum, but no one was really making Moorea their true destination. I understand you're all the way over there, so do the island hopping. But we were like, okay, now that we did Moorea, it's not a place that we would ever like necessarily care to go back to. So if we were to do this trip again, when we fly to Tahiti, from Tahiti, we would just fly to Bora Bora. We would not even bother with the ferry to Moorea and whatnot. We would just fly from Tahiti to Bora Bora and call it a day. So we would skip it. If you are going on a honeymoon and you're unsure, I highly recommend the Hilton in Moorea. It was really nice. My favorite thing in Moorea was that we went on the ATVs, which was great. The ATV company, all the excursions are under this one company called Albert Tours. So Tours, T-O-U-R-S. So jet skiing, kayaking, ATVing, snorkeling, scuba diving, like all those excursions type of things that you do on an island, you would go through Albert Tours. The only thing that we did excursion-wise really was the ATVs. We did kayaking, but that was like at our hotel. We literally were on the beach and just grabbed the kayak and went. So that was cool. But the ATVs, it was the most beautiful ATV tour. I've done ATVing many times. Aruba, Arizona. I must have done it like 4 times, let's say. And this was the best. I will explain why. Honestly, if you're anything like me and you're not the most adventurous, daring, like I don't love off-roading and mountain biking. Like I'm not that kind of person. I like sightseeing. I like going. But I'm not the type who's trying to get crazy and like do wheelies and stuff like that. Anywhere else I've ever done it, Arizona, Aruba, wherever, we kind of were on our own trail. We did our own thing and we went as fast as we wanted and as far as we wanted and we went up the craziest things. When you go with Albert Tours, it's nice and calm. You stay in a row. Everyone's like one single file line and you're going nice and slow. And yeah, sure, it's bumpy. Obviously, you're on an ATV. It's bumpy, but like it's beautiful. And we got like so many beautiful videos that like I just keep looking back on because like I've never seen nature so beautiful in my life. Like the mountains, the trees, like it was just absolutely gorgeous. And so for that reason alone, that's why I recommend going to Moorea because it's just stunning. Like the world is just so beautiful. Like especially when you're living in a city like I'm in New York. I'm in Staten Island. Like, it's gross and gloomy and like there's nothing pretty to look at here. So yeah, it was just stunning. So that was really nice. But otherwise, we would, you know, probably skip over Moorea just because it's not a place that I feel like you need to do twice. Nice to do it once. Don't need to do it twice. From Moorea is when we flew to Bora Bora. And let me just tell you, Bora Bora is a dream. It is a freaking dream. And where we stayed at the St. Regis, in itself is a dream. You have, first of all, the campus, like the just the amount of property. Like it is a huge, huge, huge resort. So every room gets, you know, bikes for each person. So like my husband and I had our own bikes and like we would always bike around. But additionally, also, they have all their employees on a daily basis driving around in golf carts. So you could always grab a ride with them or you could just call and order a ride. Like, you know, if I was dressed up for dinner and I didn't really want to walk all the way to the restaurant because it was quite far and I'm having heels on and I'm not going to ride a bike, we would just call up and say, could someone come pick us up? It's not like taxis that you're paying for. It's just the people there on golf carts just zooming around. So that in itself is really nice because no matter what, you just have these people, you know, taking care of you. You could bike anywhere. You could get a ride anywhere. But it's also so pretty that like you want to walk around, like you want to see everything and just like, you know, take your time. There's no rushing. You are on island time. There's butler service. It's like insane. I mean, the type of treatment that you get, it's like you feel like royalty. Like you feel very special. You feel very important. They offer an unpacking service, a packing service, meaning like when you get there, if you want them to unpack your suitcase, they'll unpack everything and hang it all up. And vice versa. When you're leaving, if you want them to pack your suitcase, take everything down, get it all together, they do that. They offer like a pressing service, like if you're going to dinner and you're like, oh, my shirt's wrinkled, like, you know, they'll come and take care of that. Like they'll do the laundry, like crazy. I will say we actually didn't take advantage of any of those things. The unpacking, packing, laundry service. Why? Because when we got there, we had already been away at this point for five days. The day in California, the day in Tahiti, 3 days in Moorea. So we had a lot of dirty clothes. Like, our stuff was really, like, it was kind of a mess. And so we were like, you know what? It's easier if we just handle it ourselves, because, like, we already know what we need to use and whatnot. So we did it ourselves. And then with the packing, then it was like everything was filthy. So who, like, we're like, who's folding? Like, we don't need anything folded. Like, we were like, we don't need any, like, I've already done all the laundry since as soon as we come home. Like, it was, everything was gross. Sand, dirty, whatever. Like, so everything was just dirty. So we just grabbed it off the hangers and threw it in our bag. Like, it was just, so, like, it would have been nice to have used that, I think, if that was our first location. If that was the first place we went and everything was for the first time coming out of our suitcase. But we didn't take advantage of that. And then the reason why with the ironing and pressing and whatnot was because I brought a steamer. So, like, when we were getting ready, I was just steaming my stuff. So I'm like,
let's talk about something every girl wants. Healthy, glowing skin that looks and feels good. And that's where Dionys Goat Milk Skincare comes in. I was introduced to Dionys earlier this year when I visited their farm, and I got to test out all kinds of products, from hand creams to body lotion, skincare, and their new lip masks, just to name a few. After I went to the farm, I learned that goat milk is loaded with vitamins and nutrients, which is so nourishing for your skin, and I also learned that we share the same pH as goats, which is why Dionys' products moisturize so well and never leave a greasy feel. I've been using and loving the goat butter lip mask, the vanilla bean being my favorite, and honestly, it's been a game changer. Everyone's always asking what I use on my lips, and there's truly nothing like it. It gives you the softest, most hydrated lips ever, and it actually lasts, unlike every other lip balm and mask I've tried before that I constantly have to reapply. But what I especially love about Dionys is that it's clean, cruelty-free, and designed to be simple. Plus, it's women-founded and women-led, and if there's one thing I've made clear on For the Girls, it's that we support the girls. These women know their stuff, and I love everything they do. So if you want to give your skin a little extra love today, check out Dionys Goat Milk Skincare. You can find them at DionysGMSkincare.com. That's DionysGMSkincare.com. Use code FTG20 to save 20% off site-wide. Again, that's code FTG20 to save 20% off. Calling all the girls who love a spicy romance novel, it is time to binge read the Second Son series from bestselling author Emily Rath. I just read the second book of the trilogy, His Grace the Duke, and this one is complete with not one, but three very different suitors. Each one will try anything, risk anything, and be anything our leading lady needs. But as for her, she can't help but wonder, why choose? I wasn't just reading, I was blushing, laughing, and fanning myself quite a lot. It's smart, sexy, and gives you all the emotional payoff with none of the outdated tropes. I am telling you, girls, this ultra steamy book is not your mother's Regency romance. If you love the humor and heart of Jane Austen and the sexy vibes of Bridgerton, this series is definitely for you. Re-releasing with a gorgeous new cover and sprayed edges, His Grace the Duke is available wherever books are sold starting October 28th. You girls know I'm always sharing my latest book recommendations, and I have to tell you about the book I just finished, Guardian Demon by Aurora Asher. You wouldn't think a romance starring a demon hero could feel cozy, but it could. This is a light, paranormal romance with a grumpy sunshine dynamic, one of the biggest fan favorite reader tropes, and I mean it quite literally. She's an angel named Sunshine, and he's a demon with a forgotten past. It's forbidden love, found family, and pure popcorn reading fun. Think fantasy, but rom-com. I was laughing out loud and totally swooning by the end. This one is perfect for spooky season, but without the dark vibes. Just humor, heart, and heat, because of course us girls love a little bit of spice. This was one of those books where I picked it up one night planning to read just a few chapters, but then ended up staying up until 2 a.m. because I could not stop. So Guardian Demon by Aurora Asher is on sale now wherever books are sold, and you've got to make sure to grab the gorgeous deluxe edition before it's gone.
I've been telling you girls about Secret Nature gummies, and if ever a time to give them a try, that time is now. These are organic, farm-grown, never lab-made, ultra-premium CBD gummies, and from November 26th through 30th, when you buy more, you save more. Get 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and 40% off on orders of $150 or more. I have a Bliss gummy during the daytime for a clean, simple boost when I need a clear focus, and a Snoozers gummy when it's time to wind down and actually end the day. They seriously do the trick, and best of all, their philosophy is simple. Great ingredients, real botanicals, nothing extra. Grab 30% off of your first order at secretnature.com with code for the girls. That's secretnature.com, code for the girls.
Damn. Next time, if we come back here, next time I'm taking advantage of all of that. Yeah, we did do everything ourselves with, when it came to that. But as far as like all of the things that they offer, I mean, the limit does not exist. It's like anything that you want, anything that you ask for, they make it happen. They do it. And everyone is good at every job, which is kind of crazy. It's like we had a butler, but then like if we needed something and she wasn't there, like somebody else got it done. Somebody else was doing it. We needed one of the golf carts to come pick us up after dinner to take us back to the room. And none of like the drivers were around because they were all bringing somebody home at the moment. And the woman from the front desk, like the reception lady, is the one who hopped in an empty golf cart and took us home. Like they just like do everything. Like they all do each other's jobs. Like you're literally treated like royalty. It's very exclusive in the sense that like it's a really big campus, like it's really big, but like it's very small. Like I don't know how to explain it, where like you kind of feel like you're on a college campus, where like what it reminded me of is like, you know, in the day we're all at the beach, so we're all seeing this, or at the pool, so you're seeing all these people at the beach or at the pool. But then at night there's only four restaurants on the property. So the chances of seeing those same exact people again are very likely. So at night, all the people that we just saw at the beach or the pool all day, we're now seeing at night, like it dressed up for dinner. So it's pretty funny to me because it's like, it kind of reminded me of like in school when like you would see these people at like class, you know, in class, like, you know, throughout the day or like walking to class, and then you see them at the dining hall for dinner at night. Or like then you see them, you know, at the bar like that night. Like you're just like you're seeing the same people over and over, because what's different about staying on a resort like this versus going, you know, somewhere that's, I don't know, just like a hotel in wherever, is like when you're there, okay, I'll give you Turks and Caicos for example. We go to Turks and Caicos for New Year's. It's a beautiful island, but where we stay on a condo, at a condo, you know, we go to restaurants all around Turks and Caicos for dinner. So you're not seeing the same people because you could be driving 15 minutes to this place or up the road for this place or right on the corner for here or 25 minutes away over there. So like we're going to all different restaurants all over Turks and Caicos. Whereas in Bora Bora, when you stay on your hotel, like you're fully surrounded by water. Like the town, to get to the island, like the town like out there, you have to take a boat for like an hour out there. So, and like a lot of the people who worked at the St. Regis also lived there. Like our butler, for example, lived at the hotel, which was crazy. I'm like, wow, you literally live in paradise. But then a lot of the other people that worked there that maybe don't have as many hours, their hours are shorter. Like, let's say the people that work at the beach, you know, once the sun goes down and the beach is done, like they're done working for the night. So, you know, they live out in the island, like in the town. And they take the boat the way that like us people would take a city bus to get into the city. Like when I used to work in Manhattan, I would take the bus every morning from Staten Island to the city. And I'd be on the bus, you know, for an hour or even longer sometimes, depending on traffic, to get back and forth. So that was like them, but it was by boat. Like it's like, oh, they're like, oh, no, I live out there. Like I take the boat every day back and forth. And when you hear that, you think like, holy shit, like everything is so far. Like there's literally like you're literally just on a resort surrounded by water. Like there, you cannot go to like restaurants in a town or whatever, like unless you're getting on a longboat. And it's like, oh, that it makes sense because yeah, it's like they live the way that we live. Like when you commute into the city for work, they commute by boat to the resort for work, which is quite crazy. But in any case, you're staying on that resort. You're staying on that property all day and all night, like for breakfast, lunch, dinner, beach, pool, whatever. So it was cool, like to just like, it kind of feels like, what do you call it? Like a simulation or a stimulation, whatever that word is, simulation, where you're just like, you know, like seeing the same people over and over. And then like, as people would leave, like, you know, if they checked out before we did, like if our trips, you know, didn't like line up exact and it overlapped with them like going and us coming, like we're like, oh, those people left, to like oh, they're gone now. So yeah, that was interesting. I've never experienced a vacation like that. I've never like not left the property and whatnot, and just like stay like that. So that was pretty interesting. We did do jet skiing out there. That was awful. That was the worst experience of my life. That was my very first time ever jet skiing. And it's also my very last time jet skiing because I will never do that again. It is so bumpy. It is so scary. I did post about it and a lot of people were like, well, the problem is that you didn't have your own jet ski. Like I was on the back of my husband. So like I was holding on to him and it's super bumpy. I didn't know it was going to be so bumpy. So every time it bumps, I'm like lifted up in the air because I'm like bouncing up. So my ass is up in the air and I felt like I was going to fall back and I'm petrified. That's my biggest fear. One, I can't swim. Two, I don't know how to swim. Three, drowning is my biggest fear. Four, like if I fell in the ocean, it's like I'm done for. Not even anything to do with fish. I'm not even like scared of sharks. Like that's not even my thing. I mean, sure. I'm sure if I was faced with a shark, I'd be like scared of it. But like that's not my thing. I'm not like, oh my God, I'm so petrified of sharks. It's just the idea of drowning in the water and just being in the large body of water and not being able to get out. Like I cannot swim. Okay. So that was awful. He had the best time of his life. He's gone jet skiing a million times. So he's like, oh, this is great. This is fun. I'm having the best time. I'm dying in the background. My hair turned into a rat's nest. No one told me I needed to slick my hair back to go jet skiing. So my hair was down and it, oh my God, it was just a 0 out of 10 experience. Of course, we did kayaking there too, which is much more my speed and much calmer. So that was very nice. We did go swimming with the fish. There's actually a lot of sharks around there, I will say, but they're like friendly sharks. They're like big, but small. Like they're not big as in like killer whale size, like ginormous, like 50 foot long sharks. But they're decently big. They're not like a little fish like that. Like they're pretty big. They might be like my height, like 5 feet long. Like, I don't know. They're pretty big. And they are around, but they're friendly. They don't eat the fish. They don't eat the people. They don't really bother you. We did go into like the lagoon and we were like swimming with like the fish. It is snorkeling, I think. When you have on like the mask and like the mouthpiece. Yeah, so we had all that. Yeah, I think that's called snorkeling. Like we had all that stuff, but I will not get all that gear on. I was in my life jacket and I was holding my goggles and I would just stick my face in the water because I'm not going in and swimming. So I was just like on the surface of the water, like at the top and just looking into the water to see the fish. So that was cool. That was like my first type of experience of like swimming with fish and like being like in it like that. So that was very nice. And okay. So then the other thing was that we did a private dinner. The last night of our stay, we did like a private dinner on the beach. And all of these things are things that you can book like in advance or when you get there, like whatever the case is, like nothing has to be like that stress. Like we didn't have our travel agent book any of the excursions. She had set up all the flights in between and the ferry and like the getting from each place to the next. Like each place that we got dropped off, like we had, you know, like I said, like a private driver come get us, take us here and there. So like that was very, very, very cool. But as far as like the stuff we did on the trip, the excursions, the private dinner on the beach, we just booked all that ourselves. And like that was perfectly fine. So that was really nice because that was like it was our last full night there. The next day, I'm going to tell you the story about the next day, but it was our last full night there. And it was also our 1 month, I think. That actual day was November 4th. It was our 1 month married. So that was very special and that felt very nice. And then the next day, the 5th, was the day we were leaving. And when I say this place, like when I talk about top tier service, luxury experience, that was the St. Regis Bora Bora. So, oh, also before I even get to that, when you're there and like you check into your room, obviously there's like TVs and whatnot. And the TV had, okay, you know that movie Couples Retreat? It's an old movie. It's like a Vince Vaughn movie. Couples Retreat was filmed there. So if you guys watch Couples Retreat, it does say, like when they get to the hotel, it says it's the Eden Rock. It is the St. Regis. The whole campus, the whole resort, the whole Bora Bora, that whole thing is the St. Regis. They have a channel with that movie on loop, on repeat, over and over and over and over. We never like sat and spent 2 hours watching the movie, but like we caught bits and pieces of it every time we were in the room. And it was really cool. And so the last day when we were leaving, and this has nothing to do with the other, but like it just kind of reminded me. Because when we went into the next room, it was on the TV again. Anyway, I digress. What happened was when we were leaving, our flight out of Bora Bora into Tahiti, then to go to California, was at 7:30 at night. And they don't have the type of airport system that we have at home where it's like you got to be there 3 hours in advance. It's like you could get there literally right before your flight. So they had a boat picking us up at 6 p.m. The boat was picking us up at 6 p.m. to get to the airport for like 6:45 for a 7:30 flight, which means, you know, checkout's at 12 p.m. We have this whole entire day here. What are we going to do? So now our butler had been on it. She was like, I'm going to try to get you late checkout. If they can't do late checkout, I'm going to try to see if they could put you in another room in the meantime. If they can't do that, then they will have you arranged to, they'll give you a 30 minute window to like go to the spa and you could shower and get yourself ready at the spa and whatnot. So it was like, we had option A, B, C. Option A off the bat, we couldn't get late checkout because someone was checking into our room. So we had to check out at 12 o'clock. Option B was never really brought back up again. We inquired. We were like, hey, so like you mentioned, you know, about getting another room option. What's the deal with that? Like, is there a room open? At this time, there are no rooms on the property open. Every room is accounted for. The garden rooms, the overwater bungalows, which is what we stayed in, an overwater bungalow. Every single room is occupied, whether someone's checking in, checking out, or just in the middle of their trip. So what we were told that day was, you know, we had a butler come to the room in the morning. Oh, I also have to say something else about the morning. We had a butler come to the room in the morning and say, all right, so none of the options are available. So at 12 o'clock, we're going to come pick you up. We're going to send two golf carts, one for you guys, one for your luggages. We're going to take you and your luggages to the front desk, to the reception, so you can finish your checkout. You could stay by the pool, stay by the beach all day in your, you know, you could use all the amenities, your bikinis, you know, be all that, and then have a separate bag with your shower stuff and your airplane outfit so that you can go to the spa. We're going to arrange for you to go to the spa from 4:30 to 5 p.m. So you'll have that time. And then at 5 p.m. when you're done at the spa, you could just come sit in the reception for the next hour or so until, you know, it's time for you to get on your boat to go to the airport. All right. You know, it kind of sucks, but it's cool that they're letting us use the spa for half an hour. Like, that's pretty nice. I mean, we'll just stay by the beach or the pool all day. We'll have lunch and then we'll shower later. Then what happened was, as time passed, it's 12 o'clock and only one golf cart came. And we're like, oh, but our stuff and whatever. And he's like, oh, they're going to come get your stuff after. I'm not taking, because I was like, oh, we need our stuff because we're going to go check out and like to, you know, have like the bell guy, bellhop, whatever you call it, like hold our stuff. He's like, oh, no, you don't need your stuff right now. They're going to come grab your things. I'm taking you to another room. We have another room for you. So I'm like, okay, So my husband and I, we don't say anything because we're like, let's not spoil this. Like, imagine we turn around and said, another room. They told us that another room wasn't available. And then he's like, oh, you're right. This wasn't for you. This is for somebody else. We were like, we're not going to ruin this. We're going to just take it. Like, we're going to just take our thing that they're giving us and not say a word, because leave it to us to be the ones to be like, oh, no, that wasn't for us. That's not meant to be for us. And then he says, oh, yeah, you're right. You know? So I'm like, keep your mouth shut. Let him bring us to this other room. Now we're driving. We're driving. Like I mentioned in the beginning, like, this is a really huge campus with like lots of rooms around, and there's so much going on. There's a bunch of different pools, a bunch of different rooms. There's rooms, you know, on land, there's rooms on water, there's rooms all over the place. And then there's one specific room that looks essentially like a house. It's by the garden villas, so it's on land, and it's a big thing that when we took our very first tour, because when we arrived, they really spoil you. Like, when we arrived, instead of us like waiting to check in and whatnot, they were like, we're going to bring your bags to the front desk, and we're going to take you on a tour around the whole entire property, and we're going to show you the whole entire place. So when we arrived and they took us on this tour around the whole place to show us the gym, the pool, this and that, when we passed that, we were like, who lives here? Like, what is this? It literally looks like a house. And so they were like, oh no, this is for guests. It's like a 4-bedroom thing. If you're going to come with like a bunch of friends, whatever the case is, it's like $20,000 a night. It's actually called the Royal Estate Villa. So it's literally like royalty. Like, I would imagine if a celebrity comes, a billionaire comes, like, that's where they would stay. Even if they didn't have 4 other groups of friends to fill up the rooms, but they're just going to stay there because it's super private, whatever. And we couldn't see behind it. We could only see the front of it. It was really big, and like, we couldn't see what was happening behind it. We just saw that. So we, you know, and we passed it on the bikes all the time, whatever, like, oh, the Royal Estate Villa, you know? So now when the guy was taking us to the room and he's driving, he drives, now we're away from the water bungalows. So I'm originally like, aw, like, when they're bringing us to this room to like wait in, you know, I'm like, aw, we don't have an overwater bungalow anymore. Sad. World's smallest violin. And then he's driving to the garden apartment. So I say to Joe, I'm like, oh, they're going to bring us into a garden apartment. I was curious what they looked like, you know, like, they're just like on the land. Like, I was curious what they were like. And this man pulls up into the driveway of the Royal Estate Villa. And Joe and I are looking at each other and we're like, he really has us confused with somebody. Like, what is going on? Like, they literally told us this morning that there was nothing available for us, whatever the case is. And now this guy is bringing us to the Royal Estate Villa that we've inquired about from day one, that we've passed a million times. That's $20,000 a night. That's a 4-bedroom looking house. What is happening right now? And when we pulled up, I was like, wait, what are we doing here? Like, I was like, why did you bring us here? He was like, they're letting you stay here until tonight, until you have to go. You could stay here until, you know, your boat's picking you up at 6, so you could stay here until you have to go to the front desk to get your boat. We were floored. Like I mentioned, we couldn't see, you know, in the back. So when we get into this thing, one, there's a big pool. 2, there's a jacuzzi, a small jacuzzi. 3, it's like a legit house. So there's like kitchens, bedrooms, the whole thing. 4, from the room that they put us in the master suite room, which has a bedroom, beautiful bathroom, beautiful closet, beautiful space, whatever. When you are in the bedroom and you open the doors, you're on the beach, a private beach that no one else has access to. The beach is only like for that house. So like, all the guests staying in all the other places, like, they don't have that beach. The beach that we were on was like a different beach, like, every day. So this was a legit private beach only for this estate. Now, of course, we only had access to this for a couple of hours, but man, did we take advantage of that. We're in the ocean, we're laying in the, you know, on the beach, like, in the sun. We were loving it. I mean, we got to take our showers there, get ready there. Like, it was phenomenal. It was amazing. And we were like, oh my God, our butler team did this for us, because they're the ones who told us, like, we're going to try to, you know, do something, because you literally don't have to leave till 6 o'clock at night. Like, you know, that kind of sucks. And even though we weren't 100% sure if anything was going to work out in our favor, they made it happen. And I've never seen anything like that. We've requested late checkout from plenty of hotels before. Hey, we don't have to leave till 4. Any chance we could get checkout at 2, whatever the case is. No, no, no. Not only did we get a freaking late checkout, we got put in the Royal Estate Villa. Like, I've just never seen anything like that. And I mentioned before that I was like, oh, I'm going to backtrack. I want to say something about the morning. Because I had mentioned they came to my room in the morning to like give us the rundown for how that day was going to go. The other thing that they did every single morning, they do a wake up service. Obviously, they do like a turn down service. If you guys know like what that is, I mean, I've experienced that at other hotels. It's not only St. Regis, but like a turn down service where like they close all the blinds, they get the bed all ready, like they do all that kind of stuff at night. So they do that every night. But then in the morning, they also do a wake up service, which is at whatever time you want. You can make a request of what time you want. They bring you a morning drink. Coffee, tea, orange juice, whatever your morning drink is, it'll be the same thing every single day. So because we kept waking up super early, we requested our wake up service to be at 6:30 in the morning. And at 6:30 in the morning, every single day in Bora Bora, they brought us our morning drinks. So I had a cup of tea. My husband had a cup of coffee. And they brought that every single morning. And I'm bringing up these things because like, if you want to go on the most romantic, luxurious, sexiest, fabulous honeymoon ever, like you have to go. Like you have to go to Bora Bora. Like this is, it's just like the dream destination. It really, really, really is. And so I feel like I covered all of the important things of that. Everything else is like, go and see for yourself. Like the service is just unmatched. You want to be treated like royalty for a week, you go there. So we stayed there for 6 days that day that we left. And then we had a flight. Now this was a true overnight flight. So what we did was we took a boat to the airport. From the airport, we flew to Tahiti. We got to Tahiti, let's say 8 o'clock. Because it's super, you know, it's a 1 hour flight. So, or let's say a little later than 8 o'clock, maybe 8:30. So, okay, yeah, we left by boat, Bora Bora at 6 p.m., had our flight at the Bora Bora airport at 7:30, took that flight into Tahiti an hour later. Then we had an 11 p.m. flight out of Tahiti to California. So we had like a couple of hours just sitting in the Tahiti airport until we go to California. So this is why like the travel agent's good for arranging all the back to back, the bump, 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 bump. Like it's a lot. That just made me hiccup that it's a lot. And then we had a true overnight flight from 11 p.m. to 9 o'clock in the morning in California. Keep in mind the time change. It was 11 p.m. PM in Tahiti time that we took off, and then it was 9 a.m. in California time that we arrived. That was a true, like, we slept 8 hours, like, as if it was, we were in bed, like a full night's sleep, and we got to California, and from there, we pretty much went straight to Universal Studios Hollywood. So we slept the full night from Tahiti to California. When we woke up, we had booked a hotel, and we booked it from the night before. This is like a little travel hack pro tip. If you're ever getting somewhere too early in the morning and you know check-in is not till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, always just book the room from the night before. Cause we knew we were going to want to take a quick shower in between the plane and the park. So we booked the room from the night before. We got there, you know, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, that day, so that this way we could just go right in. The room was ready for us. And we stayed very close. We stayed in Studio City, it's called. Studio City is very close to Universal Studios. So we stayed there, took a very quick shower, got ourselves together, and went straight to the park. And we were at Universal all day into the night, stayed in Studio City for that night. Then the next morning, we woke up and drove to Anaheim to go to Disneyland. And that was about an hour drive. Universal and Disney are pretty far apart. So we left Studio City in the morning, drove an hour, and from there we went straight to Disney. We showered and everything in the morning at Studio City, got ourselves ready, got our luggages back in the car, went straight to Disneyland, and spent the entire day there. We did not get to that hotel because then we booked a hotel in Anaheim to be near Disney. We did not get there until 1 o'clock in the morning. Because in the morning, we got to Anaheim, had no idea that the two parks, Disneyland and Disney California Adventure, were so insanely huge that you were going to need from open to close. Like, we were there the whole entire time. We were at Disney Springs until like 12:30, midnight, you know, all day, all night, pure exhaustion, running on nothing but fumes at this point. And then, from there, we stayed in Anaheim. So that with the day in Universal, we stayed near Universal. And then the day in Disney, we stayed near Disney. So we were in California, but like we did two different hotels. So that this way we didn't have to, after being all the way in Disney and Anaheim, drive all the way back to Studio City. So that worked out. We did the two separate hotels. And then that was that. So we spent legit the entire day at Disney. We did the two parks. First, we started at Disney California Adventure. The Cars ride is so much fun. Like, I loved it. That was so great. And then from there, we did the Park Hopper and we went to Disneyland to spend the whole rest of the night. Also amazing. I mean, he has really gotten me into loving Disney. We're not Disney adults, like, outside of the parks. It's only when we're in the parks. We're just Disney park adults. We just love the park. I will say, I do think that Universal in Orlando is a lot better than Universal in California. I found it to be very underwhelming. Like, I feel like it was much less than I expected to be there. Like, not a lot of stuff happening. Not a lot of rides and whatnot. But I do, there's a lot of pros and cons to the Disney parks, the differences between Orlando and California. I feel like the Orlando one, like, it's home for us. So, like, I think I in general prefer it. But there are things that I prefer about California Disney. One, the Cars ride is way better than Test Track. It's supposed to be like the same thing, but Test Track is like so boring. Like, it's just like a Chevrolet ride or something like that. Like, Cars theme for that is way better. I like that there's so much more in their Disneyland, which is like essentially our Magic Kingdom. But I understand that our stuff is spread out. For example, Star Wars. They have like what's called Star Wars Land, like Galaxy Edge. They have all three Star Wars rides in Disneyland. Whereas for us, it's like, you want to go to Magic Kingdom? Cool. But if you want to go to Star Wars, then you also have to go to Hollywood Studios. So like, we have all of our rides split up in four parks. Even like Soarin'. Soarin' is in Epcot. So like, if you want to go to all of these rides in Orlando, you literally have to go to four separate parks. You have to go to Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, Epcot, and Animal Kingdom. Whereas there, mostly everything is in Disneyland. And then also, they do have things in California Adventure, but you could walk. The parks are on top of each other. You could legit walk. Even to their Disney Springs, which is not Disney Springs. It's called Downtown Disney. For us, it's Disney Springs, but theirs is Downtown Disney. So you have Downtown Disney, Disneyland, and Disney California Adventure all walking distance. You just walk. You walked to this park, you walk to that park, and then you can walk to the restaurants and the shops in Downtown Disney. Whereas in Disney World in Orlando, if you want to bounce around between parks and go park hopping, you got to take the monorail to get from one park to the next. It's a whole entire adventure. And if you want to go to Disney Springs, you got to get in the car and drive, girl. It's far. You can't just walk over to Disney Springs. You have to legit drive there. So there's definitely things I like more about the California one. But of course, like I said, Disney World is like home. So I think just in general, it's preferred. But it was the best ending to our honeymoon. We had so much fun. It was also a really cool experience because, like, we know the rides and stuff, but we got to kind of experience it for the first time because we've never been to California's version of Disney. So, like, we were first timers, you know, it was our first time doing it. So it didn't feel like we're ending it by doing something we've done a million times before. A lot of the rides we know, but a lot of the rides we didn't know. And we had a whole new map system. Like, we didn't know where we were going, what were we doing. So that was really cool. Experiencing it kind of all over again for the first time and ending our trip in California. And then that was it. Then the next day is when we left. And now we're home and the laundry's already done. And I'm like, it's over. However, I'm really excited because now it's time to put up the Christmas decoration. So I'm going to get right into Christmas decorating. This episode is late because we got home Sunday. And for some reason I'm sorry. We got home extremely late Saturday. We got home after 10 p.m. Saturday. So whatever, we came home, we showered, we went to bed. So really we like got home Sunday. Like Sunday was our day home. And I thought for some reason that I was going to podcast on Sunday and have it up for Monday. Have you seen our suitcases? They were 70 pounds. So no, I did not get to that Sunday. Today is Monday. And today I am recording because, like I said, laundry's already done. So today was my day to get back on track. And now I got to do this. So yeah, that was the full recap of the honeymoon. I think that I like gave enough details that if anyone like needed to know anything, like that was essentially what you needed to know. I have so much content up on social media. I have TikToks up, I have posts up on my Instagram, and I have a whole highlight on my Instagram story. So like you could look through everything, like to see it all for yourself. If you had any further questions, you could feel free to ask me, but yes, I recommend it. Those are the places that we stayed. That's what we did. And we had so, so, so much fun. But now it is time to get back into regularly scheduled programming. And so with that being said, if you need anything, need advice, email me, DM me, let me know what topics you want me to start discussing again to get back on track with our, you know, normal content here. If you have a request for a Dear Victoria submission, email me victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com and I will be sure to read them all over and give you my advice on your situation. And if you did want to hear that episode where I mentioned in the update from the first one, that episode is Stop Denying Your Desires and Start Feeling Your Best. It's from November 4th, 2024. That's where I just got that update from. And yeah. So that is all that we have for today. Thank you, girls, so much for listening, for being a part of my bridal era, my wedding journey, the honeymoon journey. And now I'm a wife and it's all calmed down and life goes on and it is time to proceed. So thank you, girls, so much for being here. Until next time, girls.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.